Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Nothing wrong with this old house. It just needs a little home improvement.
Which you were going to do with a little help from, I don't know, friends, family. Get the missus to jump in here. Just hold this for me. Next thing you know, she's got no toenails. How did you rip her toenails off? Put in a new sink.
Still not sure how that happened.
But it did. On we go. Brian.
We were cleaning up after a windstorm a few years ago. There was a pine tree in the backyard that partially blew over, but part of the tree was still attached toward the bottom. The tree was also being partially held up by a utility pole guy wire. With these factors, a buddy and I decided to cut the tree up. I asked this friend to help me because he was good with a chainsaw and had knowledge on what to do. There was quite a bit of pressure on the guy wire and the tree from the weight of the tree. I began cutting the tree into small pieces, which would be more manageable. Started cutting closer and closer to the base. With the tree under pressure from the wire, the chainsaw I was using got stuck in the tree.
Oh.
Yeah, chainsaw. There was so much pressure from the weight of the tree, I could not get the chainsaw out. My buddy had a chainsaw, now two chainsaws are in the story, and said he'd make a relief cut to free my saw. He was next to me and pushing on the tree so I could cut the tree, which at this point was next to the guy wire, and I could not make the cut without pushing on the tree. As I was cutting the tree, snapped the chainsaw buck back, hit the wire, then struck the top of the hand of my friend.
Yeah.
Oh.
He immediately covered up his wounds and ran into the house, put his hand under the water to clean it up. I ran in the house, too, after looking for possible parts of his hand in the immediate area where we were cutting.
Oh, God.
I asked him if he were all right. He said, "Well, I still have my hand, jackass."
Well, he was bleeding.
I looked at the top of his hand where I saw four straight line, fairly deep cuts. We bandaged them up, finished the project.
Wow. That's
what a trooper.
That's a man right there.
A few weeks later, he stopped by the house to show me his wounds. Each cut was in line with his fingers, but they taper as they get closer to the wrist. Each cut about 2 to 3 inches long. Now we call him Wolverine.
See?
Hey, hilarious. Hand off.
Just, you know, it's what is comedy?
That's a happy ending right
there. Comedy is tragedy. When my brother and I were trying to move our mother's washing machine into the basement of her new home, I was on the bottom and he was on the top. Mm. When we started to move it on the stairs, it slid out of his hands, pushed me down the stairs, and pushed me through the drywall at the bottom.
Wow.
My pregnant wife ran down the stairs and was trying to get the washing machine off of me.
Hero.
Well, where's the brother?
I kept telling her to stop because she was pregnant. My brother came down and moved it. As I told him, he probably let it go on purpose to get revenge for all of our years of fighting we did growing up. Although to this day, he still denies it.
No.
Wash machines are heavy. It's always deceiving because they're the same size as the dryer. You grab the dryer, it's really nothing. You pick up the washer, it's like, woof, this thing is heavy.
I could write volumes on this topic. However, one of my best was when I was painting my house. I was up on the ladder about 2.5 stories plus by the power lines painting the trim of my house. When all of a sudden, the ladder gave out from underneath me, and not wishing to hit the power lines and get a nasty shock, I pushed out away from the house and landed on our clay bird bath, breaking it into pieces.
Oh, how did that break you?
Yeah.
My wife hears this in the house and runs outside yelling, "What happened?" And upon turning the corner, she yells, "You broke the bird bath again."
It's my favorite.
What is with you and these bird baths?
And you knew that.
All while I'm laying on the ground in pain. After a few moments, I put the ladder back up, this time putting stakes behind the feet, and finished the trim. Now fast forward 15 days.
Well, do I get another bird
sorry.
Bath?
Right.
Fast forward 15 years later.
Okay.
while I'm in pre-op for my first open heart surgery.
Oh, Lord.
The surgeon comes into the room and says, Mr. Davis, when did you break 4 ribs? Puzzled, I asked, what are you talking about? He stated, you failed to tell me about this injury. I told him I did not know I had broken 4 ribs in the past. And then my wife says, that was probably when you broke the bird bath.
I never got another one.
Then she explained my 18-foot-plus fall breaking the clay bird bath. He asked, what did I do afterwards? I told him I put the ladder back up and finished the side of the house.
Wow.
He asked about treatment, and I told him I had to lift light for the next several weeks because I was sore. At this, he said, you didn't go to the hospital? No treatment? I said, no, but I haven't broken a bird bath since. He just shook his head and left the room.
Wow, pain tolerance, quite different among
people.
Yeah,
no kidding. These guys are cowboys today. Finished the tree, finished the job after falling on a bird bath.
A few years after buying my house, it was time to remodel the bathroom. We completely ripped out the 1970s era decor and got to work. I replaced everything top to bottom, the tile, sink, tub, etc. At the end of the transformation, we were finishing with the faucet handles and trim. A thick plastic tape was on the rim of the tub to keep the new tub from getting scratched as the tile work was being done. We left it on. Near the point of completion, there was no longer a need for the thick plastic on the tub, so my brother removed it. As he peeled off the plastic, a hunk of enamel about the size of a penny came off with the tape, down to the cast iron. The tub was delivered in a packing crate, not a solid box from a warehouse, and at some point it was probably hit with a fork or forklift. But since no one could see the damage because of the packing tape, it was delivered. After all the work was done to install the tub, my first option was to have the damage repaired. The repairman, and he puts that in quotes, that was sent did not inspire confidence. When he was done, his repair looked like someone had pressed a piece of chewed gum onto the damage.
There, good as new.
All right, $50. While trying to return the tub, the plumbing wholesaler that I bought the tub from went out of business. After months of negotiating with Kohler, they agreed to replace the tub when we had to rip out the wall and floor tile and cut a hole in the bathroom wall in the adjoining bedroom to remove the tub to keep from totally destroying the almost completed bathroom.
Wow, it sounds like you've done a lot of damage getting it out.
The tub, wall, and tile were eventually replaced, and the bathroom is almost complete. Someday, I'll have enough heart to complete the project.
Oh, so it just bothers you every day?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Well, there's nothing worse than a project that's like 80% done, and you're just like, just finish it up. Just get it
here's
done.
Here's quite a story. So this is kind of a double cheeseburger. So
all right.
The year was 2007. My fiancé had seen one too many reality house flipping shows and decided he wanted to get into the game. He's an electrician, so he's pretty handy, and he knows plenty of people in the trades.
Okay, that's a good start.
Yeah, it is a really good start.
He ended up buying an overpriced, crusty old farmhouse. The house was huge. It had 6 bedrooms and 1.5 baths. The windows and siding were old and decrepit. The rooms, hallways, and staircase made you feel boxed in. Everything smelled like cats. We managed to scrub the joint down and rip out all the carpet. This slightly alleviated the cat stench, but did not eliminate it. The for sale sign went up. Nobody called, not one person.
That's all he did was paint it and take the carpet out?
No, but I'm editing the story because it gets kind of long.
So they're done with the renovations, and now it's for sale. Okay.
We had a giant empty house now and decided to rent it out. Eventually, we found a trio in their early 20s to rent it.
Here we go again.
Oh, this is a bad idea.
Oh, this is just the start.
Really?
Yeah.
This is... Carrie and I looked at each other, a trio of 20... What?
After a couple of months, one of the three called saying he was quite handy and would we mind if he fixed the place up a bit. We gave him the go-ahead and told him to subtract any building materials from the rent. The next rent check we received was for something like $112. Looking over the receipts, we found that this brainiac didn't just subtract the cost of caulk, glue, drywall, etc. He included a circular saw, saw bucks, drop cloths, utility knives, and a whole slew of other crap that can hardly be considered building materials. this idiot thought he could write off light bulbs. And by the way, his improvements sucked.
Well, you gave him the go-ahead not knowing.
Yeah.
I would not have done that.
After a couple of years, the tenants moved out. The house is in worse shape than ever. They had left behind everything they didn't want. Garbage, dirty underwear, food, furniture, more garbage. The house sat vacant for years. Naturally, this led to some jerkbag breaking in and stealing all the copper out of the basement. Eventually, we decided we had to fix it up and live in it. We hired a guy to gut the place. He showed up, knocked a few walls down, got paid some cash, and never came back. This happened three times.
We need a Nary or a Better Business Bureau lookup
Angie's
List.
Where's Mike Holmes at this point?
Really, where's, check in the background?
Yeah.
Wait. Basically paid three different people to make a huge mess. Finally, the fourth guy got the job done. The house was properly gutted to the studs and cleaned up. Next up, carpentry. Carpenter A's team was great, but they were busy. Sometimes we'd have to get Carpenter B. Carpenter B was a hack, installed windows crooked. Carpenter B screws it up. Carpenter A redoes it.
Then fire Carpenter B and never bring him back in.
Or burn this house down.
Man.
One of the two.
Finally, the finish line is in sight. In preparation for the spray foam insulation, the subfloor was cut out around the perimeter of the first floor. This left an open gap. I'm having a hard time visualizing this, but apparently there's big gaps in the floor. Just over a foot wide. Open gaps over a foot wide, where the basement was exposed. My husband was doing some wiring on a Sunday afternoon, and a couple of his buddies stopped by to check out all the progress. After multiple watch where you're walking warnings, the inevitable happens. Dude steps onto nothing, bounces off a floor joist, and is stuck face down with one leg dangling in the basement. He ended up with some bruised ribs and a punctured lung. In the following weeks, the pain meds for those injuries caused his ulcers to bleed. This nearly killed him. After this episode, visitors were strictly prohibited. In December of 2016, we got our occupancy permit. After 11 long years that included the worst flip attempt on the planet, a renter fiasco, a burglary, thousands of wasted dollars, and nearly killing a close friend, we have a brand new house. It looks great. It's open. It's huge. It's a royal pain in the ass to clean. It no longer smells like cat. We also have a master bedroom that isn't quite finished.
Oh my God.
An uncleanable bedroom that's filled with piles of hunting crap. Our yard looks like hell. We don't have a proper driveway. The garage is about to tip over, and the barn is falling apart. I love the house, but I could do it all over again. I wouldn't flip this house or flip that house. They can suck it.
Wow.
That is quite a mountain.
Yeah.
That's like Green Acres.
That's as long as you can possibly go.
The money pit.